I'm going to do Breakfast with Cephalheads, episode 4. After 3 months.
It's been a while, kids. We've been all busy with things.
With life. Life happens, life sucks.
Get a life, nerds.
When life kicks you in the balls, you have no option but to, you know, just
speaking
sit in the
of
position.
Balls.
Oh. I know this news doesn't pertain to any of our listeners, but the Pick and Save that is right by our game store now has balls. It had balls before, and then didn't have it for, like, must have been, like, 2 years. And now it has it, and I'm, like, so excited. So I have geek beer, and it's really good.
You lose.
Anyways, Breakfast with Cephalids. It's brought to you by Game Town in New Berlin, Wisconsin, just north off of I-43 on Moreland Road. We're on the southeast corner of Moreland and National, so it's like a mile and a half off the expressway. Store hours, you know store hours, you've been listening to this for a while, haven't you? We have so much to talk about, and by so much, I mean not that much. Return to Ravnica came out. How'd you guys like Return to Ravnica? You guys did pre-releases, obviously.
Yeah, I did actually a lot of events. I did, I think, 2 or 3 pre-releases, plus I probably participated in probably over, like, 10 drafts. So I got to know the format pretty well. Drafting is actually really fun. Just the mechanics that they decided to come out with were just really fun for a limited play. Populate is just...
sick.
It's pretty dumb. It's in a limited format,
you can have
any sort of token, and it's pretty safe that you're going to populate it.
Mm-hmm. And then there's those cards that's like, make a token, then populate.
Yeah, exactly.
You're getting, like, possibly, like, 6 power
and
for, like...
And it makes all your blowout cards, like, even more stupid. Like, it retards up Armageddon Worm and, like... Or even if, like, you manage to get that 15-15 worm out and they kill it, like, you can just start populating the 5/5s, like...
And they have trained. It's such a fun set to draft.
Well, sadly, I wasn't able to go to any of the events, but, like... Question. How much money did you spend in that, like, the pre-release weekend and then the release weekend?
Oh, man. I would probably say probably over $300.
Holy fuck, dude.
And I bought a box... Plus fat pack, plus events, plus food.
But you say plus food?
Well, yeah, you have to eat. People eat.
Not magic players.
I'm pretty sure people eat.
It's all like, it's all Cheetos and fucking like Mountain Dew.
Subway
all,
and water for me,
weekend.
Brah.
So this is an exciting new block, and by new, it's bring back of the old favorites.
It is.
Back when Standard was, like, sort of cool. How has it changed Standard for you?
Standard, I decided to play Grixis control list. I actually took it to States, which was up in Madison this year. There's about 140 participants. Two of my friends top-8ed, one of which
Twiggy
went
Bernstein,
second.
Right? Or no.
Bernstein and Twiggy. Twiggy got second, and Bernstein got, like, 7th.
You got 7th, I got, like, 4th.
Who did?
Bernstein.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Anyway, we were all expecting, I'm sure you guys know, that Zombies was supposed to be a, you know, big Standard deck just because it was what was big before Ravnica came out. And then going into this, that's what everyone's metagame was. It's a sideboard against Zombies.
How do I kill Zombies?
So every deck that was up there was pretty much... It was either a Bant mid-range control, or it was some sort of control using different colors. You know, there was other Grixis players that was playing. There was some America control players that were playing. There was actually a couple of different 5-color variants that I saw. One that actually did play Door to Nothingness and actually doored people to win the game.
Corey, bro.
See, that's the ultimate slap in the face.
It is.
So, like, and especially if you're at a fucking, like... legit tournament such as States, as legit as States is.
Yeah.
Like, going there and getting doored to nothingness.
Knock, knock, who's there?
Nothing!
So
I found the show title.
It's really something to see those kind of interactions in an actual, this is serious tournament.
Mm. Well, Door to Nothingness is just a funny card, and if the card pool is right, as it could be...
All the
shocklands right
getting
now.
Brought back helps that card work wonderfully. Plus that, retarded lantern that makes all your lands spray
rainbow. Awesome.
Spray rainbow out of their poopers. Makes it infinitely easy.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Rainbow diarrhea all over your board.
Yep.
Some of the individual cards from Ravnica that I really like got a liking to. And some that I didn't have a real liking to, the ones that I did like, were Armada Worm. It brings me back to Broodbant Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
That guy is so awesome. You just get an enormous board presence by just slapping one card on the field, and you're just like,
what are you going to do, bro? Oh, my God. That's exciting.
It is. Aside from that, cards I don't like, which are polluting this format, Sphinx's Revelation. I think that card
is poop.
What does that card do?
It's dumpy.
Two blue, a white, X, draw X cards, gain X life.
Yep, at instant speed. So that card has been seeing a lot of standard play. And
I've been so far removed from standard just because of like me being busy. Like I had no idea. Like
it jumped value probably within the first 2 weeks of the set coming out.
Is Rakdos Return even getting played?
Rakdos Return has not been seeing as much play. There were copies that I saw played it. That were played against me and played against people that I went up there with. But it's not the card that we thought it was going to be. Because you see this card, hey, it's almost like a freaking mind twist. Plus damage.
Well, it's like, what was it, Alara Block with Malphagor?
Oh, yeah.
Everyone thought Malphagor was just going to be like a fucking house.
They realized, I lose my hand. And then he dies.
Malphagor turned out to be just a steaming pile of dog shit.
Yeah. Like, exactly.
What the fuck was Malphagor?
Oh!
Oh, shit! Oh, yeah! A pile of shit that he used to play.
Wasn't that, like, the shitty fucking release foil,
too? It was a release foil.
Oh, my God.
It was the Demon Dragon.
Oh, it's so bad.
That's why I don't remember
it. It's so bad.
It's a piece of shit.
Yeah. Anyway, the second set that's coming out... of the Return to Ravnica is Gatecrash,
spoiled.
Yeah,
card spoiled.
We do have some cards spoiled. Obviously, there are the obvious reprints of the lands.
So that, and for those that don't know, the guilds this
Black
set
are
it's
be
Dimir, Simic,
Grohl,
Borzov, Grohl, and
Boros.
So
we've got Breeding Pool coming back. We've got Godless Shrine, Sacred Foundry, Stomping Ground, and Watery Grave.
And then the Guild Gates!
And then the Guild Gates, which actually are not that bad. And I'm probably expecting to see more Guild Gate or Gate interactions just because
it's called Gate
Crash. Because there was Gate interaction.
It was called Gate Crash. Crashing the gates.
I wonder if there's going to be Destroy All Gates.
That'd be stupid.
Because you're crashing the gates. There's going to be a card called Gate Crashes. It costs, Wooburg. And it's just going to be like, destroy all
you're
gates.
Bad. You're so bad.
Shit on your opponent's face. Slap him around a little bit.
And then
tell him he kisses
him
like his mother.
Anyway,
that's a little awkward.
aside from those lands that we have spoiled, there are five separate cards, along with Gate Crash. I'll start talking about the first one, which is a blue mythic called Enter the Infinite. It is a total of 12 casting cost, 8 generic, and 4 blue. It states, draw cards equal to the number of cards in your library, and then put a card from your hand on top of your library. You have no maximum hand size until your next turn, and this is a sorcery. I don't know what they're trying to do with that card.
Make it can't engage players, I think.
It is. Like, you can tell just because of that much draw. It applies to EDH players. I just don't know what you're going to do.
But see, I took it a different way. Because Omnitel's a deck now, I thought maybe you could Omnitel in, or show and tell in the Omniscience, and then cast that and just cast your whole deck for free.
Because
then you can just like cast Emrakul, take an extra turn, cast Grizz Overhand.
That's what they had in mind when they came up with this card.
Probably not, but I saw it and I think it's funny.
All those blue mana symbols.
Yeah, that's a lot of blue mana symbols. I was thinking that maybe like High Tide, because you can ramp up to that much mana in High Tide, or even an EDH deck like Mono Blue EDH. Like you're gonna ramp up to that mana if you're playing a large multiplayer game.
And here, like, comes Lortho as the
Freshmaker. Yeah, you're playing the Freshmaker EDH. That'd be cool. Marshall got so mad at you, dude.
That was fun. I like that. Any day I can make Marshall cry is a good day.
Yeah, so it's a really cool card, and I don't think it'll see play standard. Just because
God, no. No way.
It's so effing ridiculous.
Challenge, do it.
Challenge. Suck my dick.
Come up with the list. Put it on the blog.
Fine. Challenge accepted.
There you go.
Building a standard deck.
You guys are gonna see a incoming Enter the Infinite standard deck from PJ McCarthy.
It's gonna suck
on
cock.
The blog.
Yeah.
Okay. Now that we threw that card away, because that card's poop. We have Hellkite Tyrant coming up.
Bobo's coming back in the set.
Yeah. Bobrigmos, I'll get to him. But we have this another mythic. It's called a Hellkite Tyrant. It's 4 generic and 2 red for a 6/5 flying trample. Now, whenever he deals combat damage to a player, you gain control of all artifacts that player controls.
It would have been really relevant, you know, during all those swords that were flipping around. Yeah. Batter Skull, that would have been real nice.
I always think it's funny that Wizards will come up with the cards like, oh yeah, this is the perfect counter to X strategy, and then X strategy is no longer in standard.
Yep, they've always done that. Like,
well, there's also been that weird pattern of like, every set there's one really ridiculous retarded dragon that makes no sense, but it appears there.
Oh look, we've got one. aside from just that ability, it has a second ability that stays
fire breathing
at the beginning of your upkeep. If you control 20 or more artifacts, you win the game.
Wait, what? I didn't see that part.
You didn't see that part, huh? At the beginning of your upkeep, if you control 20 or more artifacts, you win the
challenge.
Game.
Hey, build a deck with that.
I will. That's okay. My challenge. Brandon All right. Price.
Alright, that's just...
Tyrant deck.
It's completely baffling, because why would they ever print that card? 20 or more artifacts. What? What are they trying to do? I feel like this is another goddamn EDH card. it's like the dude who, like, will always play mono red and is just losing to fucking Shroom. And he's just like, alright, here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna really just get back at these nerdy fuckers and like ha, drag it all up in your ass.
All these cards are just EDH playables only.
Let's move on.
Okay, move on to Aurelia, the War Leader. She's a legendary creature angel for 2 generic, 2 red, and 2 white. She's a 3/4 that has flying, vigilance, and haste. So it's a pretty good package right there. And whenever she attacks for the first time each turn, untap all creatures you control after this phase. There's an additional combat phase. Aside from having just a 3/4 body, that is a super, super, super awesome ability. Like,
what are its first abilities?
Yeah, it's flying and vigilance.
Flying, vigilance, haste.
So it'll be able to attack regardless of its second combat.
I think it's great.
That card's really good. That's the guild champion
the
for Boros, right?
It is. Yeah, yeah. It's going to be the guild leader for Boros. Aside from that, like, 3/4 body for 6 mana.
Well,
again,
you,
not
like, you,
a little.
You have
a little
to learn the rest of the abilities. Like,
that's its drawback.
Flying, vigilance, and haste.
Doesn't it do something else too? Oh yeah, it gives you a second combat step.
Yeah, I think.
Oh yeah, that totally doesn't matter at all.
I think that's great. That's awesome. That's a good card. I think that's going to be an insane fucking bomb in limited.
It's going to be a bomb overall, ever, always, forever.
Always
forever.
Well, now we're getting to the speculating stage of like, oh, they're going to come with more Boros stuff? Ooh, like, well, they're obviously going to come up with more stuff that synergizes with that.
Well, maybe.
Boros is red-white. Like, it's swarmy, like, strategy.
What we want to see is...
I wonder what its
every
guild mechanic is going
to
be. But its old guild mechanic was Radiance.
Dog shit.
Hey, man, that ability wasn't... Okay, it was really bad.
I did not like it at all.
Well, we're going to see. I hope to see some
Simics
sort of...
was Graft, with the Pokemon Ball Counters.
Yeah.
That wasn't bad.
I thought that was awesome. I built a Graft mechanic deck back when I didn't know what magic was. And, it went all over the place. Like, it was just, like, moving plus one counters, like, just, like, to just whatever creature. I thought it was pretty cool. I liked that mechanic.
It was fun. But aside from that, I don't know where they're going to be leading with the rest of these guild mechanics. We don't have any hints towards them.
We'll be getting any information.
Yeah, and we'll let you guys know if you guys don't know already. Because I'm sad.
In 3 months, we'll give you a review.
We'll let you know after the last set of Ravnica comes out.
Block and review.
Anyway, we also have a preview on an upcoming Planeswalker called Domri Raid. He's 3 costs. 1 generic, red and green, at 3 loyalty. So we have another 3 costing Planeswalker. +1, look at this top card of your library. If it's a creature card, you may reveal it and put it in your hand. So automatic, just card advantage. Like, you get to see what the top card is, regardless of getting in your hand or not.
Is it
so
reveal or look at the top card?
That's not necessarily
look,
good,
you
though.
Look.
And then if it is, and if it's a land or creature, you get to
but
reveal
it. But it lets you plant. Like, it's just like Sphinx of What's-His-Face.
I think
Drawer Isle. I need to look always.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I think that card's great.
Know what your top card
that's
is.
That's a great
a
effect.
Idea.
It's a plus effect, right? Plus
yeah,
one.
It's a plus effect. Yep.
+1, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that's great.
That
that's
works.
Awesome.
Second ability, -2. Target creature you control fights another target creature.
He's like Fight Bear, but not Fight Bear.
That's interesting.
If you have some really 1 and 2 solid drops, and you slap down Domri, and you're like, hey, I'm going to fight your dude, and then beat, that
yeah.
can be really solid.
What I think might happen is that will somehow like tie into Gruul's new mechanic.
I hope so.
I would hope so. Like maybe there's something that's
Because I can see that work really well with Rootbound Geist is going to fight your dude. More than likely, it's gonna beat it. If not,
what is Rubon Geist?
They're both gonna die. Rubon Geist is the 2/1 undying haste.
Okay. I thought that was called something else.
So I feel like it's gonna have really good synergy with this new Planeswalker.
Mm-hmm.
Its last ability, its ultimate, is -7. You get an emblem with creatures you control have double strike, trample, hexproof, and haste. So.
-8, your creatures poop on everything else.
-7.
Whatever.
It's
fuck
better.
You.
So it's 4 activations of
so
it.
We're talking turn 8 is the earliest you'll have it. Is that right?
Yeah.
No, 3?
No, it starts at 3.
That's third turn.
So
yep.
turn.
So that's third turn, fourth turn. Oh, wait. Third turn, fourth turn.
Math,
third turn,
hard.
Sixth turn. It'll be turn 7 where you're able to do that.
Yeah.
That's
pretty much where you just shut out the game, because...
I don't think you need it, though, like...
Well, you don't need it.
If your opponent's letting you get
like,
that... If your opponent's letting you get that far, you're probably doing something wrong.
That's true. It's definitely, like, a win
especially because, like, his
a,
only, like, protection against himself lowers his loyalty. Like, that's the only thing I don't like about some Planeswalkers, is that, like, they have no way to make themselves, like, survivable. Like, some of the Garruks make beasts... The old Elspeth made a soldier.
Yeah, even Ajani, the second one,
he
was able to keep a permanent tapped, regardless if it was a land, a creature, or something.
Right. Tamiyo can keep stuff tapped. Venser flickers out maybe an attacker to make it a blocker next turn.
Yep.
They all have something that can help them, but this guy derps around.
All right, so do you think... Do you think this Planeswalker is meant for
Crawl.
The guild or for a greater purpose?
I think it's meant for the guild.
Solely for that, yeah. Like, this is very flavorful
I think
for Gruul.
I think that last ability, like, as a... From a deck-building perspective, when you're building that, if you're building red-green, it's going to be... like, the archetype for red-green, isn't it just straight-up beats?
Yeah, it's
so this card has what I feel like very little relevance to the red green strategy.
Why?
Because it's a -7.
Right,
if you want to get that ultimate off.
Right, but if you're playing beats and you want to get that ultimate up, you need to do the +1. +1.
But when you
flip a creature, you get it to your hand, which equals more guys that you just keep spilling out. You don't empty your hand as fast.
It's a good trade.
I think it's going to be more of a control card. Where it's like you drop down that one dude that's like your end game, and then you make it, you know,
fight
have,
people.
You make it fight people, and then you also make it have those ridiculous abilities.
I feel like it's not that necessary, though. Like, if you're already playing that giant bomb that's going to win you the game, it should just win you the game.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
I really think this card would be meant for a beat deck, because it lets you... It cantrips you into all those guys you need to keep playing so you don't run out of gas.
More than likely, it's like a lot of the other Planeswalkers where you're not even going to hit all of them. So... Mm.
Except Jace the Mind Sculptor.
Yeah. That's not talk about.
Just rape you in your eyeballs.
Anyway, our last card in the spoiler, Bulbarigmos is coming back. This is Bulbarigmos Enraged, legendary creature Cyclops.
He's mad, bro.
He is a total of 8 mana, 4 generic, 2 red, 2 green.
EDH card.
Yeah. He's a 7/6 in trample. Whenever Bulbarigmos Enraged deals combat damage to a player, reveal the top 3 cards of your library. Put all land cards revealed this way in your hand and the rest into your graveyard.
Oh, yeah, he pitches lands to make them into lightning bolts.
Yep, discard a land card. Bulbarigmos Enraged deals 3 damage to our creature or player.
That's awesome.
Free bolts for all!
And, Brady, you talked about this earlier, where you, like, play the EDH, and you just play lands.deck, where you play, like, Life from the Loam.
Yep.
Play Life from the Loam, and you get 9 damage.
That's
and then, reuse.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's so ridiculous.
He's going to be kind of hard to beat for a EDH kind of...
Play Temple Bell. Dredge Life from the Loam.
Oh my god. Beat your feast for 9.
It's going to be a lot of damage.
Gonna be so hot. Yeah. You also need to wait, though. You need to wait 8 turns.
Dude, totally. If it's gonna be EDH, it's gonna go to that.
Yeah.
Right, but if you're only gonna play lands, the Temple Bell, and the Life, I don't think you could do it.
Well, you're gonna play, like, fetching, like, ramp and stuff to make that Bulbarigmos come up faster.
You're playing green.
You're gonna have Big Daddy Uncle Bulbarigmos.
Big Daddy Uncle?
Big Daddy Uncle Bulbarigmos. He's gonna come in and just, like, wand lands at your face. I think it'll be cool. I'm excited for that. I'm excited to see what great things this new set will come out with.
Yep, I think we all are.
I'm more excited about learning what mechanics they're going to release.
Yes.
I don't know. I want to see it.
I know PJ and I are especially awaiting what...
Tessa?
Nah.
I want to see what she does. Demir? Well, she's still alive.
I'm excited for Orzhov because I like that.
Yeah,
that
well, because Tessa and the Ghost Council are both still alive in the story. So hopefully they're going to come back and be something awesome.
I'm also excited for Simic.
The Great Ooze.
The Great Ooze.
Mormir Vig died, right?
I don't remember. I didn't read the Rabbit.
I didn't read the Rabbit books.
But,
what's reading?
I don't know what reading is.
Put it on the site, fuck.
Well, little do people know I can't read.
Oh. How do you play this game?
You can't read?
No, I can't.
Oh, shit.
Anyway, poor glasses.
Wait, how are you able to read those cards? Hi, I caught you.
It's just maddening. Anyway, on to what's going to be coming out next summer.
Modern Masters.
We have Modern Masters coming up. Right. I know these guys are going to talk about it more.
Draft.
All right, so Modern Masters is a
draft set.
It's a draft set.
Modern staples. Get fucked.
It's 24 packs in a box. The cost of packs is $8.50.
Hey, Jeff. Nope. Okay.
I think it's supposed to be $8.50.
Don't call me a little bit more, yeah.
But
it's a bit pricier, but worth it. Well worth it.
Because you're getting, you know, such cards as Tarmogoyf.
Yes, Tarmogoyf is the only card that is confirmed to be in this set.
Right? Alternate art as well.
Otherwise, this set is
completely
cards
unknown.
That are
speculation.
All reprints from cards legal in the modern format. Some with alternate arts, Tarmogoyf. Some with, I don't know, I would assume similar art or the same art. I don't know. I don't know how it works. How many cards set is it? 249?
I think so.
It's a hefty set.
It's a normal big set.
Yeah, and that's awesome. I think that'll create a lot of good things. It'll make modern more accessible.
If they print enough of it,
there's gonna be enough print run.
We don't
know to make more copies in circulation. So there's going to be play sets in circulation.
But do you think by doing that, they're going to lower the value of a certain card?
They reprinted the Shocklands already, so I don't think we have to worry too much about that.
Yes and no.
Well, didn't they lower the price of Shocklands?
Yeah, but doesn't that make the game more fun when more people are playing? So if more people can play, people buy cards.
I like it when newer formats are more accessible to like newer players.
Yeah, like just because a card's value, like I don't think Wizards should necessarily care about what they do to the singles market. Like, one, it's their game; they can do what they see fit. Two, it's like, well, if these people can't play, then we only have a limited amount of people who can play the game. Which means we're not selling as much product, which means we're not making as much money as we could.
Mm-hmm. It's a nice marketing ploy. Just because you're going to be getting more revenue because people want these cards, people want to get into the format. Modern is, like, now...
Right, well, like, Tony was telling me if there was enough of it, he wanted to buy 3 boxes of the set, just not even to drive, just to have. Like, people want the cards.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's right to do that. I'd rather have people draft it, but yeah, like he said, he doesn't want the cards for like the money cards like Tarmogoyf. He just wants to be able to play the format.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I think that's completely fair.
It'll be interesting. Like, I don't know, you could see a Mutavault in there. You could see.
There's a lot of certain possibilities that
a ton of stuff that could just get tossed in there.
Oh yeah, like we have no
idea.
Yeah,
and it's gonna be cool. For all we know, Dark Confidant's gonna pop up. You'd be like, oh look, Bob.
I think cards that we could expect are just modern staples. I think Cryptic Command.
Damnation.
Damnation would be fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Damnation, Dark Confidant, Tarmogoyf, Reflecting Pool.
Vesuva.
I think Reflecting Pool is still, like, relevant. Mm-hmm. When people who want to play multiple color decks. Mutavault, Vesuva.
Mutavault.
Flagstones are okay.
What are other
non-land cards that you think would be in there?
Well, Kiki Jiki was reprinted in the Legends run, so I'm not expecting another reprint.
That was a while ago.
Also, Knighted Reliquary was also reprinted, so I'm not expecting another one there. Major Reveals, maybe?
Major Reveals would be cool. What about Figure of Destiny?
That would be cool.
But Figure Destiny isn't really relevant in the format.
You don't know that. I don't know.
Well, it's not relevant now. Do you think by printing more Figure Destinies, they'll make it more relevant? I doubt it.
Who knows?
The reason people aren't playing Figure Destiny is because it's not doing well.
Maybe with new Boros cards and Gatecrash, like maybe something crazy might come up with red-white creatures.
Maybe. We don't know.
Yeah, we don't.
It's all speculation.
Do you think anything from like the Mutant Block, like the swords?
No, I hope not.
I honestly don't see it going our way.
No swords. What about Arcbound Ravager's banned, isn't he?
I think so. Jit.
That would be interesting.
There's not much else in the
Mind Sculptor. Oh wait, he's banned.
Whoops! Ouch! You are mean.
There's like 10 years worth of Magic content, where 10 years of card pool that they could like put in this.
Hey, yeah, there's so much.
250 cards.
Well, the other thing is that they don't like they could even take newer cards and just give alternate art, and people will still want it. Like, I guarantee you, if they make
alternate art Lightning Helixes.
Well, yeah, Lightning Helixes are like even some of the Titans alternate art. That'd be huge.
I don't think Titans will be reprinted.
I hope not.
No. But what about stuff like Thoughtseize or Path to Exile?
That would be awesome.
Oblivion Ring.
I don't think they need Oblivion Ring. Oblivion Ring has been printed so much and it's not expensive.
Yeah.
Leopard
Elf.
That'd be really cool if they did it. I would be okay if they just kept the DCI artwork like they did for the Plane Chase decks.
Yeah.
They took the DCI artwork and just made it a normal card, which was awesome. Yeah. That artwork kicked so much ass.
Anything else from Alara?
I don't know. I mean, it doesn't have to be cards that weren't printed a lot, though. Like, it could be just, you know, Acidic Slime could be in there. Like,
yeah.
You don't know.
Yeah. Well, from my understanding, they wanted modern staples.
I want Lightning Bolt. I want Lightning Bolt.
Lightning Bolt are not like a fucking quarter piece. Like, it doesn't even fucking matter.
Lightning Bolt.
I think Cryptic Command is something that will... I think maybe the entire cycle of commands.
It could be.
That'd be really cool.
I would enjoy that, especially
Cryptic
if
Commands are, like, what? Like, are they,
15.
Like, are they still, like, pretty high, like, 15?
Yeah.
Which one?
Cryptic Command.
Yeah.
I think making more of those would be really cool. What about any of them? Bitter Blossom. No, Bitter Blossom is banned.
Yeah.
Only because
you're Skullclamp.
And Dillion Glick. Those are both really good cards.
Skullclamp's banned, right?
Huh?
Skullclamp's banned, right?
Yes. Banned. Because that would be a horrible, horrible mistake.
Dead Skullclamp.
Fairy Clamp?
Fairy Clamp.
It's just squashing the bugs. Like
so aside from Modern Masters, we also
forgot the. Well, see, the thing that I brought up is that we're worried about how much we can or how much they're going to print, because the last major thing they released was the Commander Arsenals, and those were an extremely limited print run.
And that was a huge bag of shit too.
It was. The cards in there were they were really good, and a lot of people wanted them, but like. I don't think I could justify paying $75 for what came in that box. And on top of that, it's for a format that they're trying to make official, like, after the first Commander run. So a lot of people wanted it, but, like, there was at our store, we got 5 in total. We had more from the Vault boxes from Legends.
Or Realms?
Any of them. From the Vault Realms, from the Vault Legends. We had more from the Vaults than we did for the Commander Arsenals when they first came in. So a ton of the people that wanted them weren't able to get them. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they're going on eBay for $300, kind of absurd.
And it's only because of those like cards that they printed that
Loyal Retainers.
Foil. Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
True.
Well, even the die is going for like $20 a pop.
That makes me angry. There was someone I was talking with someone yesterday here about, you know, now that they're making Modern more accessible, like he wants to know if there'll be a Legacy Masters making Legacy easier to buy into.
Not at all.
I don't think so. Like, and I told him no, and then he asked me why. I said, well. I didn't have an answer.
I just think that, like, because the Legacy prizes are so high value, I feel like if you make a Legacy Masters, you're going to need to reprint those cards that make Legacy playable, which half the times are what you're winning in the tournaments anyway.
Yeah.
Which means now you have...
So will.
Yeah, you now have to start upping the prizes in those tournaments that are lowering them, and if you lower them...
It doesn't feel like you're winning.
Yeah, you're not. There's no real competition hunger for the prizes.
Well, it depends. Like, I can see it going either way. Like, I think it'd be really cool if they made the Legacy Masters, just because, like, being a new Legacy player and not having the deck, like, that would be awesome if I could get all my dual lands for, like, not, you know, $50 each. Like, that'd be awesome. But, like, I guess you just don't know, because, like, you don't know how people react to being like, oh, I don't have to win my Force of Wills, I can just get them now.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't know what they'll offer as prizes instead. They could offer a cash prize, they could offer more packs.
And
like,
by that logic, they can actually hold more sanctioned events.
Right, exactly.
They could theoretically make Legacy an FNM event.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it is. You can sanction it, it's just no one ever does.
Well, because people don't have the cards. Like,
exactly.
Like, you'll see proxy events for Legacy, and it'll be
because
like
people
10 proxy
like, it's,
or 20 proxy. And it's
because
it's,
people like the format,
lands.
But the, yeah, exactly.
Proxy lands in Force Awards.
Mm-hmm.
That,
I don't know. I don't think Legacy Masters is going to be
no,
a thing. I really wish it was, but...
And I brought up that, like, the cards in Modern Masters, or the cards that could be in Modern Masters, are cards that are also playable in Legacy. You could... theoretically buy into both formats just by purchasing Modern Masters.
That Tarmogoyf.
That Confidant, I think, gets printed.
Fuck
like,
you. I'll be so sad.
There's plenty of ways to...
For the
to,
record, I paid like $200 for my Bobs from Colin. If they get reprinted, I'm going to cry.
Well, and this sort of ties into another subject we were getting into with buying into Legacy.
Mm-hmm.
Building a Legacy deck with little to no funds.
Right? Well, you have one option. We have the option of every paycheck or every week, you take $50 out and you buy one dual land, and by the end of the year, you will own every dual land, or you'll own a playset of every dual land, Rashad and Poritz, Talarian Academies. Yeah, think about that. Just $50 a week or something like that.
And you know how much dual lands are now?
Like 50, 70.
Oh, no. Oh, wrong you are.
Oh, God. Did they go up again?
Yeah. I think an Underground Sea is selling for like 180.
Fuck.
Does that make you angry?
It does, because now that plan of when I have
sold,
a disposal.
I sold my
I was going to take $50 out for every paycheck. Now I can't. No.
I thought it was a good idea. Hey, man, when I looked last time, my tropical islands were only like 50, 60 bucks that I needed for white-bordered ones.
You should have just bought them.
Shut up. Okay?
It's buyers. It's like the reverse of buyers.
You know what? You
the reverse of not buying them.
You know what happened to freaking the Misty Rainforest I had? It went from being $10 to $40.
Really?
Yeah, I traded the Huseldorf.
That means I'm sitting on a $40 fetch land. How much are Scalding Tarns? Probably the same. It's blue.
Wait. It went up to 40?
That's what it was worth when Steve looked it up. It was retarded. I get so much shit off of him for it.
That's awesome.
It's not awesome.
That gives me a murder boner.
I had a playset of every fetch land.
Dude, don't talk. Tom Donnelly sold all of his duels for like $20.
He did. He did. This was a couple years ago.
Poor Tom.
Man. When he had his duels.
Meh.
You win some, you lose some. It's okay.
That's format.
But,
uncruel
okay, so,
and unforgiving.
So buying into Legacy, it's a huge deal. All right. To play competitively, you need duels.
Force of Will.
Fetches. And if you play blue, Force of Will. All right. We're looking at a, I would say, multiple $100, if not $1,000 worth of investments. Right? But when you invest in these cards, you have them. Price does not go down. Right? If anything, they go up. As you can see from the prices of the dual lands. It's ridiculous now.
Yeah,
considering like 4 or 5 years ago, they were like Volcanic Island was $30, and now it's 400% more.
So.
I think that's awesome. It's really cool.
I like it, but I don't like it. Like, it goes back to that thing, like, I love the play, the format. I don't have the wallet to do that.
Mm-hmm.
There's no money in my wallet
and,
that can't do it.
And PJ brought up a good point where it's like you buy one card a week. It's a really slow process, but...
You'll get them.
Yeah, you'll get it.
Eventually.
You'll get it eventually. And that's, I guess that's what's important. And if you
stop
win tournaments, if you win non-proxied events, you can...
Win some of those cards you need.
Dual lands. Trade those for other dual lands. Or trade them for Force Wills. Like, there's multiple ways to get it. But let's branch out here. All right, let's talk about decks that don't need these cards.
Well, one of the cheaper decks that's actually really good isn't a Goblin super cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Just because the only lands you need is like what Mutavault and Porit.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like you. Do you play Mutavault and Goblins?
Oh
yeah.
Counts as a Goblin.
Oh yeah, it does. But I thought it was too slow.
It's a land that's a goblin. It gives you mana, plays
no.
Goblins.
No, you hardly need colored mana for goblins.
Well, you need to make double red.
You need to make double red, but
so
that's why you have fetch lands.
I see how your point is invalid.
My name's Les, and I can't sentence because I'm a retard.
I think goblins is a really good deck to play on a budget. But I wanted to talk about some other silly decks. I was thinking, like...
My deck.
Your deck's expensive. You did my Force Wills.
I don't have to. I was playing that deck without...
There's a deck that,
You play my deck with Pact and Negation, so you got in order this last episode.
There's a deck that Colin and I were talking about this morning.
Which one? Life or High Tide?
Life.
Alright, so... there's a deck that Brandon and I found. It's called Life Dot Deck, right? For those of you that don't know this combo, right, it's a combo deck that revolves around Daru Spiritualist. Wow, I can speak. It's a cleric. It's a 1/1 for one generic and a white. Whenever a cleric you control becomes the target of a spell or ability, it gets +0/+2 until end of turn. Right? And then that combos with cards like Nomad's Encore, Shaman's Encore, where you pay 0 to redirect... One damage, the next one damage dealt to the end core to target creature. So you target the Daru Spiritualist
a near
over
infinite.
And over and over.
Over and over and over. And over. So then it has an infinitely large toughness, an arbitrarily large toughness. And then you sacrifice it to Starlet Sanctum or Diamond Valley, which have similar effect. It's basically tap, and then with Starlet Sanctum, you tap a white and
sacrifice a cleric.
And sacrifice a cleric to gain life equal to its toughness. There's no internet.
Broke
it. To gain life equal to its toughness. All right, I think this deck is awesome for budget, right?
Yeah. Because I don't believe that Starlet Sanctums are, over 50 cents? Whereas I don't think the Diamond Valleys are over 50 cents?
And there's Aether Vials in this deck, and I'd say the Aether
Vials... That's probably the most
Aether
Vials
are the most expensive part. You don't need Aether Vials to make that
one random scrub land.
To make that deck work, huh?
There's a scrub land, man. They got some duels in there.
Well, you don't need that stuff.
Well, aside from that, you actually have a lot of, like,
tweaking options.
Yeah, you do, because you're playing four... The deck has four Living Wish, as well as four Eldamore's Call, which it fetches up your combo... Or it fetches up an answer. Like, there's a one of Gaddock Teague in the list. There's a one of Solid Pride Mage in the list. There's, in your wish board, you've got Felidar Sovereign. If you really want to end a game that fast and you have six mana lying around, okay, boom! Done.
Yeah, I think that's great. That's fantastic. All right, and there was another card that was Preacher. So
Preacher.
As long as Preacher remains tapped, you gain control of target creature.
Oh, I remember that
control
card.
That they choose.
Tony has one of those in his cube.
Okay, so think of how awesome that card is against Show and Tell. How awesome is that against Show and Tell?
I want Dead Emrakul.
So awesome, isn't it? It's great. And I think that's what that deck is preparing
that's
for.
So
like,
mean.
All right, let's prepare for an anti Show and Tell.
I want your 15/15. Get pooped on.
It is.
Emrakul.
It's a good way around it.
Emrakul found Jesus.
And you need
found
to,
Jesus.
That combo's really quick. We're talking like turn two or three.
Turn two or three, you can effectively get up to...
Well, it's just the same as my deck. How fast can you get that core to target the other thing to make it work?
So it's heavily reliant on the core. All right, so you generate the infinite amount of life. All right, so let's say you have 2 million life. All right, you can sit there the rest of the game, wait until you get a Living Wish, get the Felidar Sovereign.
Yeah. Or you can go up to a million and just
Felidar
wait for them to kill
you. If you have 40 or more life in
the
game.
Oh, it's the cat thing.
Yeah, the cat thing.
The cat thing? It's a
bunch of wins the game.
Why don't you get to be a man and fucking get Test of Endurance?
That'd be cool, too. Because
I'm sure there's a lot less removal for Test of Endurance.
Because you can also use, what's the other wish? The
Burning
white one?
Wish? No.
The white one,
where
you can wish
is.
For... No.
Golden Wish?
Golden Wish.
Is that what
yeah, Golden Wish, where you search up an enchantment out of your board and win the game.
Yeah, I think you should build this deck. All right, this deck is really cheap.
Yeah.
Aside from the Aether Vials.
Yeah.
And the Aether Vials aren't even...
We're not allowed to touch...
Shut up, it was your fault.
No.
By the way, for guys who cannot see us, PJ is... fucking with Colin's laptop.
Well, okay, so we don't have internet here anymore, and he fucking clicked
you,
on
no,
a link.
You did it.
Oh, no.
I'm Colin. The
My name is Colin. I...
Record.
Alright, so the deck is only going to cost like 150 bucks to make.
Probably, because...
So the deck is completely solid. You can play it, right?
I could, yeah.
And you can do that with, like, not even a week's of pay.
No.
You work 40 hours a week, don't you?
Yeah. So I
don't
get,
talk
like,
about its personal life. It's personal.
No, shut up. We can talk about personal
my
life.
My life. I do it what
we're,
I want.
We're all friends here. We know the inner machinations of
machinations.
Each other's lives. Get out of here. Get out of here.
That's a word.
It is a word. Dude, you ever see that SpongeBob episode? It's like, the inner machinations of my mind are an enigma. And then like it goes to the thought bubble. It's like.
here?
May I take your hat, sir? May I take your hat, sir?
See what we do here? Like,
I'm sorry.
Okay, so we screwed up recording, so now we have to go over high tide again.
Alright, so Audacity stopped recording for some effing reason, so we had to go through...
Apparently we were ranting on
High Tide deck. Right.
So we have to redo this. So
okay, so
enjoy.
another deck that Brandy can play is it's called Solidarity, and Solidarity is just another name for High Tide, right? High Tide is an instant for one blue until end of turn, whenever a player taps an island for mana, that player adds another blue mana to his or her mana.
He adds another teardrop to his sorrow.
Right? So you have four copies of High Tide, so you use reset effects. Reset being cards that untap all your lands, right? And right now there are two in the deck. There's Reset, which is an instant for two blue. All your lands untap. Reset can only be played on an opponent's turn after his or her upkeep phase. Okay, cool, right. Cool, makes sense,
yeah, sure.
Cool. And then there's another one. It's called Turnabout. Turnabout is an instant for, what is it, two and two blue. Tap or untap all artifacts, creatures, or lands target player controls. All right? Cool, isn't it?
Yeah,
why not?
All right, so the object is to, when your opponent plays X spell, like, I lightning bolt you. You just combo off and masturbate.
Basically.
You're stroking the combo dick for the, you know, however long, 10 minutes that you'll be doing this, all right? The problem that we all sort of came to is...
There's nothing to shuffle the graveyard.
There's nothing to shuffle the graveyard in to get to recur the High Tides. I came up with Felden's Cane, and I was apparently bastardly wrong.
Because they don't work that way.
Because it exiles itself, all right? I didn't know that.
That's
right?
Why so, Elixir of Immortality is a better choice.
Elixir of Immortality is
but
good.
Aside from that, it takes up a slot where they could possibly, you know, keep going on your combo, keep using the engine in order to get your combo. So it may or may not be a good decision.
I think it's one of those things, kind of like Belcher, where like you either like pull out your opponent or you run out of gas, like. Because, like, he does it in a different way where, like, he needs to keep untapping things or you need to just keep flipping things.
Yeah.
And getting more mana, like, chaining spells. Like, he just does it all at once. I mean, because, like, if you think about it, if he has enough resets in the deck, he doesn't really need the shuffle. Because, like, if he High Tides once and just keeps resetting, it's like he casted High Tide multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as he's, like, not overextending by playing more than one, he's fine.
Well, using the High Tide and the resets at the very last possible minute.
Right.
Like, all you have left in your mana pool is
that mana
enough to cast a spell. Alright, I can dig that.
Well,
what bugs me about this deck is this deck does not play Rewind.
I honestly don't think that's...
Why does it need Rewind?
It taps up to four lands.
Well, yeah, but the thing is...
Well, no, he has another point. It's a counterspell that gets you, what, an extra 4 mana if you cast it High Tide that turn? Because you tap
like,
2 islands,
you
cast
a
Rewind,
you, like,
so you get
like,
4
okay,
islands
let's say you already
back.
Have a High Tide, you only have to tap 2 islands to
and that,
untap.
And that could be one of your,
okay.
That could be one of your chain starts as they cast their spell. You cast High Tide, hit the Rewind first, get
untap
back the
lands
you... Well, untap the original land you cast an High Tide with.
Okay.
And then you just start going.
I think Rewind is a really there's another card I can't think of it off the top of my head.
What does it do though?
But it's like well not Cloud of Fairies because Cloud of Fairies has no effect to this. There's another card I think it's bounce a non-land permanent untap the lands. I'm trying to remember what it's called.
Wait, it does what?
It untap or I think it bounces the permanent. I might be making this up.
What is it?
Is it another like Rewind effect where I play spell? Untap
lands. Yeah, spell effects untap up to, you know, 3 lands or 2 lands, something like that. Whatever it is, it's still awesome. And the point is you untap the lands and then you're able to ramp up more mana
I think having like a Rewind would be more beneficial. Having the Rewind and not being an idiot with the High Tides is more beneficial than like jumping around and sticking this elixir in and hoping it works at the right time and when you need it.
In case you do have
It's probably, they have Graveyard Hate, too. Like...
Well, that or,
Well, what sort of Graveyard Hate are you going to have game one? Nothing.
The Ooze. The one Ooze that came out Commander.
If that...
Well, you just eat it out.
Again, if they're playing Show and Tell, Emrakul, Eldrazi, they get in the way of
everything.
Everything for that deck, because...
And this is why you have Stroke of Genius in the Wish board, because you have Cunning Wish is in the main deck, and then you get the Stroke of Genius.
Yeah. And you draw them out and say, million.
Isn't there a better way to go about that, though? Other than forcing the draw out?
Against Show and Tell? I don't think so. Otherwise, you have no option.
Something blue can do to, like, make
that. Play Navrik in, like, you know, a Strek card mode. Like, just yank it.
Right.
Okay, alright.
You go big or go home and just, like, splash that time stop in so they don't have a discard.
Alright, okay, so how about. How about Mind Over Matter?
What does that do?
Alright, it's an enchantment for 2 and then 4 blue. The effect is choose and discard a card. Tap or untap target artifact, creature, or land. Yes or no?
Too slow. Not good enough.
I think it's slow.
It is too slow.
You're discarding cards.
And then you're doing this on your turn, too, because it's an enchantment. You'd have to cast it at...
Oh, yeah.
That's the problem. That's slow.
It's way too slow.
Casting it on your turn is slow.
Well, that and you're losing all the thing that resets your land.
You're losing reset. But then you're relying so heavily on Turnabout, and I...
No, not even that. You're just losing your hand to that card.
Yeah.
It's just not good.
It's not good for...
It depends. Like, no, because let's say you see a spell that you don't need.
What spell in the deck that is...
Nothing. You need every spell your deck throws at you.
Yeah, you shouldn't have useless cards for a combo deck, like... Because you shouldn't care about what your opponent's doing. It should all be about you and stroking your ego.
Yeah, it's stroking the combo wiener. All right, so this deck is also not very expensive. All right, the deck the list that we're looking at plays 4 Force Wills, 2 Cryptic Commands, and resets.
I want to look at the lands, you cocksucker.
Right. So resets are, if I remember correctly, Brandon, what, they're like $15 a piece? $15 a piece. All right, Cryptic Commands are also like $15 a piece.
Which I already have 2.
You don't need the Force Wills. I think Rewind is a better option for this deck. Correct?
I agree.
Because it's not only a counterspell, but it also
aids the deck.
It aids the deck. All right.
And like, for how much mana you're going to be producing, it's almost like it's free.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like, if anything, you're gaining mana by casting the spell, so it's kind of like it's free.
Mm-hmm.
And you're stopping something they're doing on top of that.
And it also is another spell that you can add to your brain freeze.
Right, exactly.
It's a hard counter, and it untaps lands. All right, the advantage that you get with Force Wheel is that you don't have to pay mana. But with this deck, it's almost like it doesn't matter.
Well, the benefit of Force Will being, like, if they go first and they have some weird turn one combo win, you can stop it.
That's where Force Will is awesome.
But that, I mean, you could side in the Force Will point.
It's a bargain. But in the argument of building this on a budget...
You don't need them.
You don't need Force Will.
You probably don't even need the fetch lands.
And if you're playing
in
a non-proxy tournament in a metagame that's just... sort of building itself together, no one's going to have Force Wills. No one's going to be playing these ridiculous turn one combos, except me.
Hey, man, I play two.
Yeah.
It's going to be us being like, oh, who's going to do it first?
Yeah, I think this is a really awesome deck for a beginner on a budget to buy into the format. Because then you're getting your feet wet. You're going to win some games, you're going to lose some games. It's okay.
What are high tides? Yeah.
High tides are pretty cheap.
Are they?
Yeah.
We can't check because we don't have internet. Unless Brandon wants to check on his phone.
I mean,
what?
Because brain freezes aren't cheap.
Brain freezes are cheap.
That's what I meant. They are cheap. Yeah. They're not expensive.
Cunning Wish is like $5, $6.
Are you on deck check?
I'm on deck check. Just Google the price.
What's Impulse worth?
Impulse is like 50 cents.
Yeah.
Yeah, like none of these are... To the resets, 15. What about Turnabout?
Turnabout is cheap because it's
it's from Saga, man.
It's from Urza.
I don't know. That's something we'd have to check. I mean, even it's just not. Yeah,
it's uncommon. I think it's gonna be pretty cheap.
Is it uncommon?
That's
uncommon. Oh, it's a rare.
That's silver.
That's... Shut up.
Ha! Ha! Love being right. Love being right.
Okay.
Alright.
Is there anything else we're gonna go over?
Five color. Alright, so...
Five color.
Alright, so... Next Sunday, starting at 10 a.m. at this store, there's going to be a five-color event for the five-color community. All right, so five-color is a format that was developed by people in Wisconsin, not too far from here, from I think it was like Waukesha, Brookfield, that area. And it was a big deck format. The rules at that time, it was like a 250-card minimum.
Yeah, so right? These are fake decks you're playing with.
And you have to use all five colors, right? You have a minimum amount of
each color.
Yeah, of cards for each color.
20 cards?
It's 20. Or it was 20. Now I think it's 25 or 30 because the rules changed. But it was at some point 20 of each color, and multicolored cards count for one of that card's colors.
Mm-hmm.
And you can even split them, so like two blight, or if you had four blightnings, you could put two in red and two in black.
Yeah.
It's cheaty things like that.
Yeah, you can use multicolored cards to maybe like fill in the gaps where you just don't want to play that color if you're lacking that color.
Yeah. Then there was a banned list. You could play anti cards.
For this tournament, there's no banned list. There's only a restricted.
All right. So you're talking like anti cards, contract from below, jeweled bird. You're able to play all this cool stuff.
And a lot of other things that are restricted, like. Clearly, you're playing with a huge deck, so like Invincible Him.
I think Invincible Him's funny.
Invincible
and Battlewits is restricted.
Yeah.
Obvious wins. What I like about this format is that it's so customizable. We're talking 250 cards to submit to.
It's like a giant toolbox, and you never run out of tools ever.
Yeah. The five color rules recently got revised. And I think this is like 2 or 3 years ago now, where they allowed the use of proxies, right? So you could fully power your deck. You could play four force wheels. You could literally play an entire deck of proxies. And this is that argument to make that format more or easier to buy into. If you want to play all proxies, that's fine. That's cool. The problem with that is if you had no real card on your side of the board, you couldn't speak. So if you played an all-proxy deck, you'd have fun not talking to anyone. It's a fun format. Like, people come up with goofy strategies. Like, I know Brandon's playing the tournament next week. What are you playing?
I'm playing kind of a mid-range aggro kind of a deck. Obviously, I have more creatures that just do a lot for me than my spells. I'm using such cards as Blood Red Elf, and our free spells are always fun. There's cards like Corian Dryad. Gets really big when you're playing, you know, multiple colors because.
Are you allowed to like play any of the cards like on Plane Chase decks and Commander Arsenal decks?
Yeah, all cards are legal.
All cards are legal.
I think except Silverboard.
Yeah.
Which ruins all my strategies.
Of course.
No.
You unhinged fuck.
Dude, it's so Max, awesome!
Max Lotus.
I play Gleemath. I played a mid-range five color way back a couple years ago. I thought the deck was fun. It's really easy to build. You can just take like draft commons and build a deck that'll.
Yeah, but the only thing people need to know is the anti.
Yeah. So how anti works, and this is to determine who goes first in a match. Is that correct?
You cut the deck, and then you reveal cards off the top of your opponent's library after you cut it until you hit a rare, non-land,
time-shifted,
or I think they can just stick on cards.
Yeah, they can, yeah. So,
or like, whatever, or if your opponent gets bored and wants to draw on something.
Yeah, alright, so this anti is A, used to determine who gets to go first, and then B determines what you're playing for. So let's say your opponent flips over your Lightning Angel. So you're fighting for your Lightning Angel.
Yep.
Right? So there's ways that this anti works, all right? There's one. There's sandwich anti, or sandwich buybacks.
Which is something that our the creator of that kind of variant, Joni, actually came up with.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to lose match...
The best two out of three.
Best two out of three. There's an option to
there's multiple
buy back
options.
Your... Well, yeah, I'm saying it's an option to buy back your card by buying the winner a sandwich.
The great thing is you get to choose what sandwich.
So you
can just go
so
to McDonald's and get a hamburger.
Yeah, you can get them like a 50-cent hamburger, or you can go. We have a freezer over here. We can get them an ice cream sandwich.
Shit sandwich.
Yeah, exactly.
Shit sandwich.
Yeah.
No, like literally shit sandwich. Just go buy a loaf of bread.
Yeah, and poop on it. Shit sandwich. Yes, we can do that. Then there's then some people play quarter buybacks.
Yeah, or they'll do trade or.
Scribble anti. All right, let's talk about scribble anti. Scribble anti is what my personal favorite anti.
As is mine, especially because I like drawing on people's cards.
All right, so what happens is if you lose, your opponent gets to draw. your opponent gets to draw, on the card.
Yeah.
So PJ brought up these old bizarre traders that. He lost to me multiple matches of five color. So I turned them into the bizarre trader of sexual favors, and maybe we can post a picture or two on the blog, because everyone knows that'll be safe for work.
So you're the one that hired
him. But yeah, of course I did. So we have all those options, and there's some other ones. This store has a bunch of scribbled on cards.
Yeah,
the bargaining chip.
Yeah, every person has them. If you've played five,
pretty much the courtesy thing is we don't drop penises on people's cards,
even though it does happen.
It does happen because I probably have a full playset of spectral inches that turn into spectral cocks with a cock on each of them. We decided that,
that wasn't fun. Well, it's vulgar, it's immature, but it sure is funny.
Yeah.
Sure is
funny. These are real classy, Colin.
There's DJ's
Giga Hot Fresh
So you end up trying to draw, like, clever things, like trying to make something funny out of the card.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Case in point.
It's a fun format, and... If you, it's really social.
It's for the
most part non-competitive.
And in addition, the deck is a minimum of 250 cards. You can make it as big as you want.
Yeah,
but you have to be able to shuffle it by yourself. That was the rule, right?
I think that's the rule. Yeah.
Tim Friggy, the man, the myth, the legend.
Huh? Is he playing?
I hope so. His deck is
like a 4 foot long box.
Yeah.
Of over like
of almost, probably unsleeved. It's thousands of cards.
A thousand cards probably. That he just puts in there.
He just takes a stack out of the box.
Yeah, and then every time just.
I'm gonna
stack.
Play with this card.
I didn't know that was in here.
He had at some point he had like how many Spine of Ishtas in there?
I believe there was 9 Spine of Ishtas in his deck.
Is that actually card. Limited? Like, can you go over 4?
No, only 4 of, only playsets.
I thought it was, yeah.
But with
Tim's deck being over 1,000
well, that deck we tower powered all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, you each just take your own stack. So everyone is guaranteed to have at least one Spine of Vista in their stack.
I have 3, you have 2.
That's happened.
I'm gonna blow up your spine. I'm gonna blow up your spine.
Oh, I'm gonna use my spine to blow up your spine. Mm-hmm. Oh, look, I'll do it again.
Yeah, it's a fun time. I really like the format. When the rules changed a couple years ago, they made it 300 card minimum, need like 30 of each color, and you can proxy. Like it got to a point where I didn't want to play the format anymore. Like I was used to playing the old one, and when they made the changes, it made it not fun. And if you could proxy your entire deck, then why? What's the fun in collecting the cards, making, trying to foil the deck out, trying to get F&M foils?
Yeah, especially when you are playing that kind of format, we all like, getting our special F&M promos and our special Texas cards. Like I have a playset of Texas Mortifies I use for a deck, and
you know, just drawing those is just so much fun to play. And so it's like, look at my cards better than yours.
Yeah, there's a definite sense of success in
having the cards.
Yeah, having the cards. Not that proxying isn't an advantageous strategy. Like, let's say you wanted to have a full set of duels and a full set of fetches in your five pillar. Of course, that's fine if you want to proxy them all. But we're avid supporters of not proxying for five pillar because you have
so many cards. In
the entire card pool to choose.
You should just build.
So you can come up with like those really crappy fetch lands from, what is it, Mirage?
Oh yeah, fuck yeah.
Or like the Tri lands from Marlara. Like, there's so many options you can do.
Yep.
Or so many options you have to make the deck as, you know, as customizable as you want. Like, you can put combos in there. I think it's a fun format. Is there anything else that we wanted to talk about? FNM this Friday is standard.
Yep. No more. Or we had a draft yesterday. So we only do that every once in a while. Usually once a month. Usually once a month we have a draft in change of FNM.
It's nice because people like drafting.
Yeah.
And usually what ends up happening is after standard, you know, people do use the prize packs to draft.
Yep. We do have on Thursdays we try getting a draft normally because obviously people like doing it. So we try getting a little draft league. Alex Bernstein kind of runs it. And we just tried getting at least eight people a week. Usually it's not too much of a challenge to do that.
Is there anything else we need to cover?
No. Well, the five pillar tournament is next Sunday at
next
10
Sunday.
a.m.
$10 entry fee.
Huh?
$10 entry fee.
$10 entry. If there's eight players, the prize is a mock diamond. If there's more than...
Which is original and printed. It's not the reprint.
If there's more than eight, it's a scrub land, which is the black-white dual land.
Yep.
And if there's more than 16,
there's both.
Yeah, both are up for grabs. And then plus packs.
Plus packs.
So it's a nice layout, and if you have enough time to do that, then by all means go ahead, build the deck, come in.
Don't be a douche.
Introduce yourself.
It's not a douche for me.
I'm just wondering when you're done.
And that's lovely people DJ. We don't want to talk about.
Losers.
Edit it out. It's okay.
Edit out Will.
Oh yeah, like edit it out Will. Well, that was horrible. So I don't think there's anything else we need to talk about.
I'm PJ.
I'm Colin.
I'm Brandon.
This is Cephalids. It's nice to be back.
At night.
Yeah, at night. hope you guys enjoy this, and if you have any questions, make sure to email us, breakfastwithcephalids@gmail.com. Check out the blog. Maybe people will come up with some original content for the blog as opposed to just me.
I'll think about it.
So hopefully there'll be some more OC on the blog. And please submit any suggestions at all to breakfastcephalids@gmail.com. And we're done?
Out.
Yeah, out. Peace, homies.
Oh my god.